This morning, Brother Alex Minzler is going to bring us the message. Dang, you get applause before you preach. That's awesome. You know, we think it's important that we pour into our young people, young men and young women, when they're gifted. And when they have a passion for something, we want to pour into them. And Alex asked me a couple months ago. He wanted to preach way back in February. He said, "Man, I've been putting something together. Man, God's putting something on my heart. I want to bring that to the church." And so this morning, Brother Alex, who is planning when he graduates to go to school and to study Bible and ministry and pursue the vocation of pastoral ministry. So, Brother Alex, bring it, brother.
Good morning, church. I know that at least once in your lifetime you've complained about walking, whether that be at an amusement park, walking from one end to another, waiting in a line, "Oh, my legs hurt." Do we do this in Christ, though, when we're walking through our faith, like, "Oh, my legs hurt, can I take a rest?" Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Practicing through our faith makes you stronger with your relationship with Christ. We can say we all practice something every day, whether that be at your work, school, or something else. But the real question is, are we practicing for Christ? This year at Winterfest, the teens and some chaperones listened to many preachers. They all had great points. I want to share some points that I brought back from Gallenberg. First is that we all have to practice. When we do practice, we will be ready. And when Christ comes, we have to be ready. We have to practice, whether it be from reading from the Bible, praying, worshiping. I mean, worshiping even in the shower. I mean, I think Dion does that already. So, can't just say, "I'm a Christian," and then do nothing that the Bible tells us to do. We have to do all this. We have to pray when we're in our beds, get on our knees right before our we go to bed and say, "Thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that I'm alive." We have to read our Bible, whether it be in our bed, read ourselves to sleep. A quote someone said at Winterfest is that sin is not messing up, but it's what you're missing out on. What I thought is sin was about messing up and how we learn from our mistakes. But when you mess up, you do miss out on a lot of things. So what I thought, Jesus knows when you're gonna mess up, and he knows that you're gonna mess up. He knew this for decades, centuries before us, so he knows it's not gonna be any different for us. We are humans. We're always going to mess up. It doesn't matter. But we can't miss out on our prayers. We can't try and skip them. We can't miss out on worshiping him. We can't miss out on reading our Bibles. When we fail a test in school and our parents saw that we tried, they don't get mad at us. They said, "Okay, get back on your feet and try again." This is what Christ is doing. He sees that we're trying, and he'll let it slide if we mess up. But if he sees that we're not trying, then he'll give us some consequences. But they're tiny consequences. They're not like, "Oh, you failed once, you're going to hell." He's going to try and bring you back up. He's not going to let up on you so easy. We can't get behind on our practicing. We have to start now. Something David Bowden said was that this key may be an obstacle, but it just shows that our God is unstoppable. This hit me like, what does he mean about this? Then I thought about it a little, and everything that is in our way, it won't matter in the long run. We aren't going down if we are with God, and He is right there with us side by side. Wasn't He the one that survived 40 days and 40 nights in a desert with temptation? We are still afraid. We are still scared. Let us put our lives in His hands and let Him steer the wheel. We let our friends kind of direct us places. Why not Him? Our friends are only there for a couple of years, maybe longer if you're lucky. But God is there for a lifetime. You know why He is there for a lifetime? Because He loves you. Not like your friends, like they say they love you. That He actually adores you. He loves you. Something that Jeff Walling said is, we have to trust, then obey. After this, we can recognize our problems that we have. When we recognize our problems, we have to confess them. We can't just hold them in our hearts. We have to get it out. We have to get our pain out of our chest. After we confess, we are ready for submission. We have to tap out and let God help us. Finally, after submission, He said, we can celebrate. Celebrating with Jesus has to be our one final target. With all these steps, we walk together with Him. On Saturday night, we got together with the churches that we go to work camp with and Way of Life. And we sang a song called Someday. In there is a line that the tenors sing when the parts split and it hit me. The tenors sing, I gotta be ready when He calls my name, someday. Well, if you do the stuff that I just talked about, then you'll be ready when He calls your name. And that someday, when that becomes today, you'll be ready. Another line in there says that, you know the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall arise. We'll walk the streets of gold someday. When that someday becomes today, we can't just stand there. We have to celebrate with Him. Not just celebrate, but we have to go with Him. We will walk and we'll go and walk the golden streets. We'll see the golden gate that we've always been imagining. We'll see everything someday. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. At Winterfest, it was about your Christian walk, how you can strengthen it. Winterfest is fun and all, but it's not how much fun you had. It's how much you get out of it. And if you just listen to what I said, you get like a plan of what I got. This Winterfest, I realized that I have to surround myself with people that will tolerate my religious views and people who I can have conversations with about Christianity. Who will you surround yourself with? Someone said during one of our devotionals, can we surround ourselves with people that have different views than us, don't believe? And one of the chaperones said, you can surround yourself with people that have different views than you and don't believe, just as long as they don't corrupt your views. Because once they corrupt your views, you're practicing those corrupted views. You're weakening your relationship with Christ. You're drawing farther away from Him. But it is a good idea to surround yourself with people that don't believe, because you're getting the gospel out there, which Christ tells you to do, and you're also persuading people to come to church with you and practicing all those views. Another point that I'm gonna put in there is to relax. God has your back in this. He's fighting side by side with you. Why are we stressing out about this then? We have the largest, strongest, mightiest person on our side, and that is God. Are we still afraid now? How did David defeat Goliath? He did it with God. And what about the walls of Jericho? Joshua chapter 6, verse 4-5, have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sounding long blasts on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse. The army will go up, everyone straight in. That's God. He's right there. He's fighting for you. And we're still afraid? We shouldn't be. And then there's stories like Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're risking their lives for Christ. And we're here just scared to do something for him when we're not even risking our lives. And they are. No matter what happens, he is there. And he's willing to fight our fights for us. And we can't just sit here shivering in our boots waiting for him. We're gonna have to do something, because once he arises and he sees that we've done nothing, he's not gonna bring us with him. We're gonna have to do something, church. We have to get off our lazy butts. We have to run to him. Can't just sit here. We have to run to him. Has anyone, has a bully made fun of one of your siblings before? And you have to step in and tell them to stop, back up, get off his butt. Christ is doing that for us. He's willing to come in and tell the bully to get off. But he's not just telling them to back up. If they're trying to harm us, he's going to destroy them. He's not going to put up with all of this. He's destroying them right there. And when we get baptized, we're giving our life to him already. That's why they tell you, think about it a little and then come back and talk to me. That's why they ask you all those questions before you get baptized, so they know you're ready to give your life to him. He fights our battles for us, but we still have to be ready in order for us to get the consequences. And do you think your life decisions are hard? Your life is difficult? Read Joseph's story, and then you can say your life is difficult. Another thing that Jeff Walling said is, he said that we are all out of tune right now, meaning all of our lives are messed up. If you play an instrument or sing, you know what being out of tune is. It's horrible. It sounds horrible. When just one person is 10 cents sharp, it sounds horrific. So Jeff brought out a girl that played a strings instrument. I believe it was a cello, but don't quote me on that. And she was supposed to purposely play out a tune the first time. Well, this hymn song, it didn't sound so well. The second time, he said, play in tune. And she did, and the hymn song sounded amazing. When we will get our lives together and in tune, that song that we're playing for God, which is our lives, he'll love it. It will be this beautiful song that he's listening to. He's gonna dance to it. He's gonna sing it. He's gonna love it. Others are gonna try and help you get into tune. And those others, they may make it worse though. They may make it better, but why not let God tune us? Because he's the professional here. He knows what he's doing. He's the conductor. He's the director. He knows what he's doing. But we're letting others come in to our lives and helping us tune that we don't even know. And we're not letting God help us? Finally, discipleship. Showing our trust to him. Discipleship is not supposed to be one person doing it alone. Why do you think Jesus called 12 disciples, not just one? He called all 12 so they can do it together. Justin brought this up in one of our classes for the teens. It stuck with me lately. It's supposed to be together. It's not just supposed to be one person. Another thing that stuck with me that Justin has said is that at our first night Devo at Winterfest, he said, you have to be present in the convention center. You can't think of anything else. You can't think about what you're gonna have to eat, what you're gonna do after the lesson. Because of this, I tried to take as much stuff as I could from Winterfest. And I think this year has been my most progressive Winterfest year so far. But if we are going to do this stuff together, we're going to have to get out of our cliques and our comfort zone. I think that's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to team up with Reynoldsburg, and we're trying to get out there, out into the community with the elementary schools. We try to do it with all the festivals that they're having, the Easter egg hunts. Now, church, we aren't going to run straight up into heaven. We're going to have to walk again. We're going to fall back. But when you fail in a sport or a subject, you just don't stop. You study harder. You practice harder in order to try again. That's what we're going to have to do with Christ. We're going to have to take baby steps into heaven and just barely make it. And why not do it with the people who are trying to do the same stuff as you? Now, I forget the celebrity that did this representation, but he had two flights of stairs. You couldn't see the steps. When you stepped on a stair, it will light up. He said, if you are higher up than me, I'm not going to stay here waiting, but I'm going to use your set of stairs and climb up to where you are, and then I'll go back onto mine. So let's say I'm down here just looking up. There's someone up there. That set of stairs is all lit up. I see that he's all the way up there. I'm going to see what he's doing in order to get up that high. And then I'm going to try and do that. So I'm going to start climbing up because you can't see them. You can't see the stairs. So you have to kind of feel around. You're going to slip and fall a couple of times. That's all right. You're going to have to come back up even better. Now, when you climb up, you're going to see that door. You're going to see that light up there. You're going to see heaven. That's going to help you. He's going to put a little light down there so you can see the little silhouette of the stairwell. So you can see that. But he's not going to help you all that much. You're going to have to do most of it on your own. You're going to have to feel around. You're going to have to make some decisions on what you're going to do, and some of it's going to back you up. This walk is meant for you to fail so you can come back stronger. He's going to put tests in your journey just to see what you do. He knows you're going to mess up. So if you're going to mess up, don't mess up so bad that he's gonna he's always gonna forgive you, but don't mess up really bad. Messing up a little, it's good. But if you mess up a lot, he's gonna have some suspicions about you. He's gonna climb the steps with you. He's gonna do everything with you. So we have to trust him. We have to let him take the wheel. We're going to have to let him do all this stuff. He's going to direct you around. He's not going to direct you around all the time. He's going to let you go on your own a little. He's going to let you test the waters a little. And he's going to see you mess up. He knows it. So back to the stairs. When you look up there and you see the people up there that's higher than you, you see them as a role model. You see them as like, wow, they did that? Why can't I? When I heard that you're the older one now and you have to do all the right stuff, you're the role model now. For my parents from the first time, that was like, really? Like, do I really have to? So when you're looking up there, you're seeing them. They're your role model, and you're seeing what they're doing, and you're gonna be trying to do what they're doing. The people down here, they're looking up to you, and you're their role model. They're seeing what you're doing, and then they're gonna copy you. They're going to say, oh, he did that, let me try. And they're gonna try, and they're gonna get up there with you. And then sometimes they're gonna get in front of you, and you're gonna see what they're doing, and you're gonna do what they did. So it's all like a process here. You're gonna see, and you're gonna try. And then you're gonna get higher, and then they're gonna see, and then they're gonna try, and then they're gonna get higher. It's all back and forth here, church. So with all these points, they'll help you on your walk. They'll strengthen your relationship with Christ. They'll make the path shorter and also smoother. Remember that someday, maybe today or tomorrow, you have to be ready. You have to be willing to do all this stuff. Don't believe that you have to be baptized, because you don't. You have to be ready. You have to be willing to give up your life for him. You have to be willing to give up everything that you have for him. You have to be willing to do all this stuff. You can't just sit here and do nothing, because that's not gonna work. You're gonna do all this stuff for him. You have to be ready. So, once again, at someday, maybe today, he may call your name. You have to be ready. Thank you.